So, my dear, the day you have always dreamed of has arrived. The day you become Bride of Chaotica!
Hello, and welcome to the Brides of Chaotica, a chaotic Star Trek podcast. I'm Taylor, a bona fide Trekkie.
And I'm Elizabeth, and I just know that I love Data.
Everybody knows that you love Data. Join us as I show Elizabeth episodes of Star Trek that I love and she has no context for, as I try to slowly indoctrinate her into the world of Star Trek. Yay! Elizabeth, are you ready?
I'm so ready.
So,
it's a finale.
This is a season finale. This is the season one finale
of part one.
Oh, no, we're doing a full.
Oh, it's a double episode.
It's a double episode. We're just going to go so hard and just do it. We're just going to push through. It's going to be amazing and a little, dare I say, chaotic. It's going to be great. But, so we're going to do a lot of stuff at the end of this episode, actually, where we kind of talk about your experience during this first season. So we'll save that to the end.
Hell yeah.
But right now, I'm just going to tell you the series that we're going to be watching.
Okay.
And we'll just jump right in. We'll get things moving because we're going to do the segment at the end.
Oh, this is true.
So, we're going to be watching today from The Next Generation.
Ooh.
So tell me.
Star Trek, my sweet, The Next Generation.
Baby angel. What is this Next Generation?
The Next Generation has Data. It has Data.
Who else?
Do we have Geordi LaForge in this one?
We do have Geordi LaForge.
Geordi LaForge.
Who is Crusher? Oh, this is Crusher. Yes.
Yeah. And so that would mean that, Picard?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh, you're doing so well. Who else do we have? Take some
is
more guesses.
Worf in this?
Worf is in this.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm like, what, 5 for 5 now? 6 for 6?
Yeah, you're doing so good. Okay. I haven't been keeping count because, for the listeners, I am needle felting as we record this. So I haven't been keeping count with my fingers, but, you're doing great.
Okay. And then... Oh, I'm missing people. I know.
So we have Captain Picard, who's the first officer.
Oh, what's his name? Beardman. Riker.
Yes. Oh my God, you're killing it.
Okay. And then there's, what's her name? Biana, no, something Taurus. Bilana. Bilana Taurus.
Oh, no, you're so close. Deanna Troi.
Deanna Troi. Oh, okay. Where's Bilana Taurus?
She's on Voyager.
Oh, shit. Okay. I got one wrong, but Deanna Troi. Okay. Fuck. I thought she was on this one. Damn it. Okay.
You're close.
You ruined my perfect score. Okay. We got Deanna Troi. Is frickin' the little jelly man on this one, the shapeshifter guy?
Oh, no, that's Deep Space Nine.
Damn it, got another one wrong.
No, you're pretty sure you got them all. Like.
Because the Doctor isn't.
The Doctor's on Voyager.
Yeah, okay.
Crusher is the Doctor. So it's Captain Picard, Riker, Data, Worf, Geordi, Crusher, and Deanna Troi. That's the cast.
Cool. Oh my God! So I like got all of them.
Yeah, you like got all of them actually.
Guys, the progress that has been made from literally every other episode.
Especially since it's been a couple weeks since we've recorded, we took a little break during like our finals week.
Oh yeah.
So I'm pretty impressed. I'm pretty happy. I'm happy with how you did today.
I'm happy with how I did too. I'm proud of myself.
You should be.
I got him. I mean, the most important one is Data, but you know, we all know that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But you think, to be fair, up until this point, you have thought Data is in, like, every episode.
Yeah, that's because I was
like, Data's in this one, right? And I'm like, no, Elizabeth, Data is not.
That's because I want him to be in everyone.
I know you do. Which, I know this. I know this of you.
I know this. We know this. Our listeners know this. And I hope it hasn't gotten old, because Data is my favorite.
That's okay. This is a podcast. Nothing ever is going to get old, ever.
That's fantastic. That's the goal.
And we're allowed to do whatever we want, because it's our podcast. Whoa.
This is true. Wow, someone's going fast.
Motorcycle, I think. Anyway, so what I've decided also is I'm pretty sure for the future, all of our season finales are going to be two-parters. So today we are going to power through the whole thing. We're going to do a part one and part two of an episode. So two episodes technically.
Yes, 1 + 1 = 2.
Yes, thank you. I'm an actor. I'm not good at math, so I needed your help.
That's okay. I'm a lawyer. I'm also not good at math.
We're doing great.
But we love mathematicians, and we love scientists.
We love mashmaticians.
Those are experts at making mashed potatoes.
Oh, I was thinking that they were expert fortune tellers using the mash.
Oh my god, that's even better.
That's what I was thinking of.
Listeners, did y'all do mash when you were kids? I'm not getting
into that. I'm sure everybody did that, right?
That, and then, oh my gosh, what were the little... The boys did it.
Not, yeah. I just mean, like, it's...
Back then, I feel like it was like, it's a girly thing.
Nothing is a girl or boy thing, we're just people. But yeah, people I'm saying everybody did mash.
Yeah. Oh, but do you remember the little, like, triangle, like, fortune square things, you know?
Oh
you
my do god, those? I love making those. Sometimes... Those
feel so good.
Sometimes I will make... So... This is a little bit of a tangent, but I made one at my old office job that was Star Trek. So the four were like the different uniform colors.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then like different, the second thing was like different divisions.
Oh, dude.
And different ranks. And then on the inside, like the fortune part was like an episode plot.
Oh, that's really cute.
I should make one again, because they were fun to make.
You really should.
Ow, fuck. Sorry.
She stabbed herself.
I'm needle felting, and sometimes I poke myself and I bleed. It's fine.
It's all right, though, because the felt is red in this case.
Yeah, the felt is red, so if I bleed, it's not a big deal.
It's fine.
Okay. So we're going to do two parts. But for your unhinged prediction time,
I'll just do them as like one.
Just do them as one.
Okay. Does that mean I get double the time?
Absolutely not.
No, come on.
I think instead of 4 minutes, I'll give you 6.
Okay. I appreciate it. I'll take time and a half.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Okay. Let me get the timer geared up. Everybody get ready.
I'm so excited. I have a feeling I know where this prediction is going to go.
Oh, really? Do you now?
I think I do, but I suppose I don't know what's going to go there. I just want it to a little bit.
Here's the thing. No one really knows where prediction time is going to go, and that's why we love it.
That is true. There's a specific direction I really fucking hope it goes in.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Because honestly, here's the thing. Frankly, I don't really know what direction prediction time is going in. Sometimes I just start speak, and as Michael Scott says, I just find the words along the way.
I like it.
I need to look up that exact quote, because frankly, it's an iconic quote.
Look up the quote, tell the people, and then
Michael Scott. Sometimes I just start, there we go. Let's see, I know this. It's one of the best. Here we go. Sometimes I'll start a sentence and I don't know where it's going. I just hope to find it somewhere along the way. Like an improv conversation. An improvisation.
Isn't that just conversations? Isn't that just being a person?
Yes, that's why we love Michael Scott, because he teaches us about things that already exist. That, you know, he thinks he's...
I need to watch The Office.
What?
I need to watch The Office.
Yeah, the fact that you haven't, I'm like, I don't know how we've stayed friends, honestly.
Hold on.
I truly don't know how we've stayed best friends with you having not watched The Office, because it really is, I think, the best, if not at least one of the best sitcoms of all time.
Rainn Wilson, he's in...
Yes!
In The Office?
Yes, yes. Rainn Wilson plays Dwight.
Dwight, right. Okay.
Yeah.
He's in Star Trek.
Is he really?
Yeah, in Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, very cool. Good job, Rainn Wilson.
I just finished a couple episodes that he was in.
Very nice.
I wonder if he comes back, because I'm not done with Discovery yet.
Yeah, Rainn Wilson, Dwight is an iconic character.
Oh, I know Dwight. Like, I know a lot of the characters and
You need to watch the series.
Watch the whole thing.
Literally my favorite show. Okay. Like, your love for Star Trek is like about my love for The Office.
Okay. I'll make it a goal. Because I want to. I've always wanted to, and everybody loves it, and so, or like a lot of people do. So
Then they're crazy. Not to call people crazy, but like. But like, if you don't like The Office, then you might need to reevaluate your life choices.
All of them. Every single one.
Every single one. Go one by one, every line item, and be like, was this a good choice? And if your answer to, do you like The Office is no, all of those choices were wrong.
Fair.
Not telling people how to live their life, but like, I am also telling you how to live your life.
But also.
That's The Office.
All right.
Okay.
You ready for your prediction time?
I am ready for my prediction time.
Okay. Elizabeth.
Yes.
Today's season one finale episode is a two-parter from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
Called Best of Both Worlds.
Oh my god. Do I have a story for you? Okay. We open on a stage. The lights are all focused on the center of the stage. There's a little spotlight. And suddenly we hear... oh yeah, and Hannah Montana walks out. And it's intergalactic Hannah Montana.
Ooh,
yeah, this is not actually, so here's the twist though. You know how in real life, because this is real, because Hannah Montana is real life for sure. Absolutely. It's really just Miley Cyrus. In this universe, the Star Trek universe, Hannah Montana really is a person. And this person is like a cloud, like a little, you know, the little clouds that we've run into.
A nebula?
Yeah, one of those.
Hannah Montana is a nebula?
Hannah Montana is a nebula. Right? And has been visiting Miley Cyrus on Earth in our universe. And that's where Miley got the idea, or sorry, Miley Stewart, I guess technically is her name in the real world. Yeah, in the show, it's Miley Stewart. Anyways, okay, but it's Miley Cyrus, basically. Okay, so this nebula is Hannah Montana, and that's where Hannah Montana comes from. And so Hannah Montana's on the stage, and then the lights go out, and suddenly Data walks out.
God damn it. God damn it.
And Data says, 1 minute, folks. My daughter needs
daughter.
A second. So, yes, Data has a daughter, and Data's daughter is Hannah Montana, the nebula. Okay? Just one second. Just 1 second, guys. My daughter needs a second. And then the lights go down. And then we zoom back 30 years into the past.
Into the past.
Yes, we're going into the past.
Okay.
And we're back on the,
How old is Hannah Montana in this?
We'll say she's 20.
Okay.
Okay. We zoom. So, yeah. So this is 10 years before Data has Hannah Montana.
As a datette.
He gets married to a datette.
Okay.
And a datette gives birth to Hannah Montana, the Nebula. But this is 10 years. So this is when he first meets Datette.
Okay.
Okay. And this, so Starship is going around. We're getting, I know it's unhinged. It's okay. I don't care. I'm just listening. This is an origin story. Okay.
I'm just listening.
And so, Starship, because we're on the Enterprise.
Yes, correct? We are. Well done.
Yes. So Enterprise is zooming around. They're going around space. They're just doing their thing, you know, exploring new worlds, strange new worlds. And they land. We're revisiting Data's planet, where all the Datas come from. And so Data goes down. He wants to find his life partner.
Data deserves a life partner, honestly.
He really does. He wants to go find his complimentary person, individual. He just needs someone. He wants to find his person. So he goes down. He meets Datette, who is also gold. Her hair is gold. She's just this lovely.
Oh, her hair is gold.
Yes, she's especially shiny.
Got it.
And that's where Hannah Montana gets her blonde hair from.
Oh.
Yeah. And so
Hannah Montana, the Nebula that was born of androids?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just checking that yeah, I got.
That's how that works. That's how science works. I checked.
I know.
I asked my scientist.
I trust you.
Words that should never be said when someone tells you they asked a scientist.
How I trust you.
But yeah, so Data meets Datette and they start having a lovely romance. Meanwhile, the rest of the Enterprise crew is like,
oh, yeah,
shit, how are we supposed to? We can't bring Datette with us, but we also can't leave Data. Well, I don't know. She's vital. This is the thing. She's vital to the planet where the Datas come from.
Okay.
She's like, I don't know. She's in charge of their performing arts division.
Ooh, that is important.
And it is very, very important because they're all Data people and they really need art in their lives. And so she's integral to the community.
Okay.
Okay. And so they're like, oh, shit. I guess we're going to have to figure out how Data can have the best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, well, I guess we'll just have to let him go. This is our farewell to Data.
Oh, my God, no.
But like, not actually. It's like a trick farewell. You know, they're like, they set up the situation where there's only two choices, but there's not actually only two choices.
Right. There's a secret third that the audience.
So that's the end of part one. Oh, no, not the timer.
Your timer is up, baby. No,
30 seconds.
All right. Wrap it up.
That's the end of part one where you think you're going to have to say goodbye to Data. But then you find out, you know, get to part two, episode two of this two-parter.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that that Datette is a little bit tired of running the arts program and she wants to hand it off to her protege. So it works out well. She's like, you know what? We're going to go travel the galaxy together. And they decide to get married or they have, I don't know, whatever kind of union ceremony that the Datas have. They combine their mainframes.
Oh.
I don't know.
Horrible.
I don't know. Anyways, and so they become a little couple and then, you know, we fast forward like 10 years forward from that and you're seeing Hannah Montana, the Nebula being born. She just kind of comes into existence. All right. We don't exactly know the mechanics of it, but it's not really important. because suddenly Hannah Montana has been introduced to this wonderful universe, and she will go on to inspire Miley Stewart.
All right.
And that's the best of both worlds.
So, Hannah Montana is exactly the direction I was fucking hoping this would go in.
Well, of course. I mean, how could it not? How could it not?
People in our generation, I know.
And I'm sorry for any listeners who are not, like, familiar, because that was really just, like, an Elizabeth grab bag of, like, a... I loved Hannah Montana growing up. I still, honestly, just the nostalgia is so real.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I'm sure that's how a lot of people feel about Star Trek.
Yep. So there you go. Two nostalgias combined into one.
Nice.
So there you go.
I told you that we got an email from a listener, right?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Little shout out to Tim. Tim is also the name of my uncle. It was not my uncle who wrote us. But thank you, listener Tim, for...
Yeah, thank you, Tim, for sending us
reaching out. It was super duper awesome. And Tim gave us a bunch of information about like nostalgia and different things that we had questions about during the episode. And Tim actually reached out and answered, which was really cool. And I love that.
But yeah. Also, if you have any fun ideas or artwork, like also if you ever want to draw artwork and send artwork, we love that too.
Yeah, please send your artwork to us. I love artwork. I love it.
Taylor's an especially artsy person.
What?
I said Taylor's especially artsy.
I do identify as an artist. that is one of my identifiers.
I am someone who wants to do more art, appreciates art, but doesn't have a lot of time to do art right now.
That's
so
okay.
But I love seeing art, and I love people's minds. So
people's minds can be pretty great.
Yep.
All right. I love that prediction. I really wanted it to go into the Hannah Montana direction, and I kind of knew it would.
Yeah, how could it not?
Because of the episode title. Mm-hmm. So let's go. We're going to watch both of these episodes. God, I hope we have time. If not, I can record tomorrow as well at some point.
I can too.
Or Tuesday morning. I can record Tuesday morning.
I also can.
So... yeah.
Okay.
Let's watch these episodes and then come back and do our best to do a recap plus a segment in the limited time that we have. Okay, let's say like 6:30. We have till like 6:30.
Yeah.
My time. Anyway.
That's fine with me.
All right, perfect. All right, let's go. Bye.
Bye.
All right, we are back.
We're back.
So I'm just going to tell the listeners. I'm just going to be so upfront with the listeners right now. We took a break in between recording the intro and this right now, and your girl got sick.
Taylor has acquired an illness.
It's honestly so weird. Like, I didn't do anything out of the norm. I think it's like an end of the semester
sickness.
Like my body is like shutting down for a second. Which is ridiculous, and I hate it because I have so much work to do this week. But
death has come for
it's so I do sound different, and also that's just my head hurts a lot.
Taylor is afflicted.
I am
with indeed. Illness.
And I honestly can't remember the second episode that well right now. But
it's all good.
Let me actually, I'm going to go get my notebook because I did take notes during the first episode because I'm smart.
No, absolutely do.
But
yeah.
Hold on.
No, you're fine. Yeah, no, thankfully I actually remember this well, I don't know. We'll see how it happens. I think I remember this pretty well. I loved both episodes.
Good.
We finally met the Borg.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to show it to you.
We finally met the Borg. Fun story about the Borg and like not knowing what it is. One of my classes this past semester, it basically you learn about like how to be an ethical lawyer, which you would think that that would be intuitive, but apparently it's not. So we had a class talking about like ethics as a lawyer, it's like legal profession, how to be professional. Anyways, my professor, I don't know if he's necessarily a Star Trek fan or not, but he brought up, we were talking about like conflicts within firms, and he brings up the Borg. He's like, yeah, you got to treat the firm. It's kind of like the Borg. And I'm just sitting here. I'm like, I don't fucking know what the Borg is, but I'll take your word for it, my guy. Anyways.
That's so funny.
So now I finally get to know about the Borg. And honestly, knowing now what the Borg is, it makes a lot of sense. His analogy was pretty accurate, actually. So
I love that it only took you like a couple months to like get to the episode where you're like, mm-hmm. Oh.
I also didn't want to, like, I was like, I totally could have like looked it up when he talked about it, but I was like, I had a feeling that we were going to do an episode and was going to talk about the Borg, and I didn't want to spoil it. But
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I need more people who are proud of me.
Because you look, shut up. Shut the fuck up.
Feeling a little vulnerable today.
That's okay. You're allowed to feel vulnerable whenever you need.
Sometimes we're vulnerable. Sometimes we're afflicted. Sometimes we're vulnerable. And
maybe usually she's born with it.
What?
I said maybe she's born with it.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's social trauma.
Yup.
Anyways.
Okay, so let's just go through your first impressions of the episode. I know you liked it. You get the Borg now, but like overall, both of the episodes, what's the vibe?
My first impression, well, even just like throughout the episode, I was literally like, shit, we're gonna fucking lose Picard. Here's the thing. I have no context for like what comes after, what really comes before, because we do watch these randomly. And so I'm like, oh my God, did Patrick Stewart like have to go do another project? And so they like cut him for a season or two. Like they cut him out like at this point. And I was literally shitting myself. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to lose Picard in the most like horrible way. Like, oh my God. I was, because when they first introduced the concept of the Borg, like early in the episode, you're like, oh, this is kind of a cool, like, I mean, obviously they're hostile and kind of freaky and, you know, that it takes collectivism to a little bit of a really unfortunate extreme. I'm sitting there watching it and I'm like, okay, like that's an interesting concept. And then you start getting deeper into it and then they take Picard and I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, no. Oh, no. And they put the little metal on his face and I'm just like, oh no, don't drill into his skull.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. So that was my impression was shit. We're going to lose Picard. I fucking love Data as per usual. Riker though. Okay. This was a lovely, like Riker centric episode.
I know. I always forget that.
Yeah.
Like, not always, but it's like, once it starts, like once the episode starts, then I'm like, oh, right, this is definitely a Riker episode. But because like when I think about Best of Both Worlds, I think of Locutus of Borg. I think.
Oh, yes.
But I don't think of Riker's like within.
Yeah.
With what's her face?
Okay.
Shelby.
This lady comes on in and I'm like, I don't know. I was like, oh, this lady's shifty. I don't trust her one bit. She turns out to be great. But like,
yeah.
But like at the beginning, I'm like, oh no, 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 no.
Well, cause she comes in pretty hot.
Yeah.
Like the, I'm going to take your job, Riker kind of energy.
Also and that hair. Like, my God, the hair. Yeah.
The hair in Star Trek, man. I don't know what to tell you. It happens.
But it, like, especially that 90s influence hair.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, ma'am, that is a French twist for the century.
Well, you've seen Janeway's Bun of Steel.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
But she comes in super hot, and I have such conflicted feelings because I'm like, yes, ambitious woman.
Mm-hmm.
Go you. But I'm also like, but Riker is the best ever. So,
yeah.
Like, it's such a conflicting, like, thing because I'm like, you go after your dreams, girl. But I'm also like, but change your dreams so that you don't fuck with Riker, please.
We want everybody's dreams to coexist.
Right.
But I, because like, I don't know if I've said it so far this season, but I think I initially was a little wary of Riker for some reason. I think I said at one point that he gave me shifty vibes. Or that I didn't.
Yeah, but everybody gave you shifty vibes for a while.
Yeah, that is also fair. But like, for whatever reason, I was always just a little apprehensive about him. But this episode really changed how I see him. Like, truly.
Really?
He's, I don't know. He really gives, I don't know. I think it's a good representation of kind of being an ambitious, I don't know. I connect with it because it's like the ambitious young professional. Like, I mean, this is later in his career, obviously, but like,
yeah,
he's obviously passionate. He cares. He's a very like unique way of doing things. He, you know, based on like what Picard talks about, like he was very much a risk taker, mm-hmm. you know, and you can tell that he's afraid of leading because he kind of knows how he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I personally like resonate with that so much. And, you know, kind of seeing his, at least this point in his career where he's clearly ready to take on that kind of responsibility as a captain. And like people around him telling him, like, you're ready. Like, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Picard, even like before he gets, you know, taken over by the Borg, he's like, like, again, it's like you selfishly, you know, he loves having Riker there. He trusts him and everything. But like,
yeah,
he knows that Riker's 100% capable of being a captain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. It's cool to kind of see that character. Like, you see the his like internal struggle with like, I know I have experience, but I still don't feel ready. And it's imposter syndrome. That's literally what it is. It's like a perfect representation of imposter syndrome. And like, it's hard to leave what's comfortable. Like, and not that the role he's in is like bad whatsoever. Like, he obviously, he helps the Enterprise. He serves the Enterprise. He's Picard trusts him, you know, he's in this really vital role, but yeah, just seeing the imposter syndrome, I was like, oh, everybody has that, you know?
Yeah, even Riker.
Even Riker, man.
Who's like arguably a hotshot, you know? Like, he's a hotshot guy.
Yeah.
And I like it too because I feel like it validates that, like, not everybody wants to be
mm-hmm.
in a position of power when everybody else wants them to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, spoiler alert, he does eventually take on his own command, but it's not until the series is over.
Okay.
And so it's like, sometimes it's like you don't need to push yourself beyond what you want.
Yeah.
Even though everybody else is trying to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true as well. I think, yeah, I really like what you're saying about like, yeah, sometimes you got to know yourself too. Like,
mm-hmm.
sometimes, I don't know. I think it speaks to that like work-life balance. Like,
yeah,
not to make this about like careers and work and stuff, but like, I think it is an interesting reflection on just because you can do something doesn't mean you necessarily should. Even though, like, I mean, clearly, like, there's a spot for him. There's a, you know, he has a spot to be a captain, and he. But he gets – but I think it's cool because throughout the episode, like, he gets this chance to kind of see that, like, oh, no, I am capable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay that I still don't want to right now.
Yeah, because he does. He has to take over the command when the guard is taken by the Borg.
My God.
And he does.
The Borg. Can we talk about the structural integrity or more so lack thereof on that Borg ship? The way they design it, the cube, very fun concept. There are so many holes in there. So many holes. Mm-hmm. So many. That does not look airtight. It does not.
Yeah. I don't really know how the infrastructure of the Borg cube works. I just know that the Borg cube exists. And anytime it shows up, it's like, oh, fuck.
Honestly, I'm probably the only one that cares about the way it's built.
I don't think you are. I'm sure there's some sort of like insurance person out there who's like, what the fuck is happening?
He's an intergalactic risk assessor.
A contractor or something.
He's just out here like, they didn't fucking put all the bolts in. Or like, they didn't. So much for collective consciousness.
But maybe it's because it's like, it's so big.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I really don't know.
I just look at it and it looks like a little junkyard heap of metal that's ready to fall apart the second it bumps something.
That's so funny. That's so funny that you see the Borg cube that way, because the Borg cube is so full of like fear.
Yeah.
That I love that you're like, guys, it looks like it's gonna fucking fall apart.
It looks awful. It looks like, there's a lot of use. Vintage cars are lovely. I admire people. Just hear with me out for a second. I love people that repair them, but it looks like a rusted out vintage car that was like, someone did like a house flip kind of thing on it, where it's just like, it's shitty. It wasn't done right. You can still see the rust. There's mold under, like, it looks awful. It looks like a hunk of junk. It's space junk. That's literally what it is. It's space junk.
That's so funny, because, yeah, the Borg cube is such an imposing image in Star Trek that it's like, when you see that cube, you're like, oh, they're about to get fucked somehow.
It looks like a cube of space trash.
I love that.
It's like someone needs to go put it in like a trash compactor and just squish it down into a little flat piece. That's what it looks like.
Oh my God, you're right.
Or like, what is it? There's that movie. Okay, Wall-E. It's been a while since I've seen Wall-E, but like, you know,
yeah, how he takes the trash and he puts it in his little tummy and he makes it into a little cube.
Yeah, into a little cube. That's what the Borg is. It's a little tummy cube from Wall-E.
That's so funny, dude.
That's why I saw it. I was like, this cannot be technologically advanced. They can't even build a fucking spaceship.
It's so technologically advanced. It's so funny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we do see that. It is terrifying. I'm not going to lie. Like,
yeah.
When they're walking through, when they first like beam board it and they're walking around, I'm like, oh, shit. People be plugged in here.
Yeah. Yeah. Because have they been on a Borg cube? Because I know that, so this isn't the first time we're introduced to the Borg. It happens in season 2 with Q. Have you met Q yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, we'll get there. Don't worry.
Yeah.
But Q is essentially an interdimensional being, and he, like, I'm trying to remember the episode. I think it's called Q Who, but he gets mad at Picard, because he always low-key gets mad at Picard and like is like, here, I'm gonna show you the Borg. And so he like takes them to the Borg, to a part of space that they like haven't been to yet, and like they're not supposed to meet the Borg yet, and like people are pissed and they're like, what are you doing? And so they learn some stuff about the Borg, and that's where Shelby comes in, and that's why she like kind of knows stuff already, and why she's like advanced, because they were taking all the stuff that the Enterprise learned from season 2 to kind of like prepare for when the Borg did come.
Okay.
And now the Borg is here. So that I think it was that episode where it's like, if you go onto the ship and you're not like a threat, they'll kind of leave you alone. But the second they sense that you're going to, like, try some shit, they'll come to you.
They go, this one, not too bright. Ignore.
No, exactly. They're like, you're not going to do anything, so we're just going to keep moving on with our lives.
So, okay, so here's – so I have some background questions about the Borg that, like, just kind of came up as I was watching this. All the people on the Borg, they were originally – like humans, other species, but they were like individuals on their own. Okay. Right.
Yeah. And
they get, I'm assuming, again, the Borg's going around collecting people and collecting different like individuals. I'm just going to use people. People doesn't necessarily mean human. People.
Yeah. We're
just okay, going around collecting people, and acquiring them into the little Borg cube. And then do they just like slowly start to look like one another? Is that kind of the thing? They become like robots almost?
Yeah. So welcome to Borg 101.
Okay.
So one thing that I find really interesting is that we learn a lot about the Borg throughout Star Trek. We learn a ton about the Borg during Voyager.
Okay.
Like so much. So basically, the Borg as a species, I don't really know how they started. I don't know if that's just something I don't know yet, or if that's just not something that they talk about. But it's essentially a hive mind that assimilates other species, and their goal is to assimilate entire species.
Gross.
So they'll like go to a planet and assimilate an entire planet and like all of the species there. And then they'll, in order to get all of their valuable knowledge about like technology, battle strategies, even history, like just everything about that species. And
yeah.
So yeah, once you're assimilated, you lose your individuality, you become a member of the hive mind. And so all of that technology kind of like takes over in order to improve you.
Okay.
So it's like if I was assimilated by the Borg, but I had like a fucked up knee, they would like insert technology to fix that knee so that I was quote unquote perfect.
Oh.
And like, yeah, so that you become a drone essentially.
Ew.
Kind of think like Beehive kind of.
Okay. But like worse.
Yeah.
So much worse.
So that's much.
Oh, I don't like that. That gives me a major ick.
Yeah.
You know what it gives me? It gives me colonialism vibes.
I mean, yeah. It's that's not that far off from what the Borg are and do.
Oh, I don't like it.
That's why they're like one of the big bads, you know?
Yeah, because they just come in and they just take over and they're like, oh, this is our knowledge now. That's not your knowledge. They're colonialists. They're imperialists. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a little space junk imperialist ship.
Yeah.
Well, that's no good. That's no good. We don't like that.
Who was I talking to? I think I was talking to my roommate James about when the Borg came into existence.
Mm-hmm.
In the Star Trek franchise.
Yeah.
Like, what the year was based on what the historical landscape was.
Oh, like our actual, like...
Yeah, because if I remember correctly, it's like the late 80s.
Oh, that really does track so much.
So it makes sense that there would be this fear of this hive mind that was happening, like, historically.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a relic of like the Red Scare, honestly, in some ways.
Probably, honestly.
But also, people need to also not demonize communism and socialism.
Well, like, I think it's misunderstood in a lot.
Yeah,
of
it's like, okay, because yes.
Let's look at the Star Trek political landscape, like of Star Trek.
Oh yeah,
it's very socialist. It's very like mm-hmm. everybody has their needs met. People don't get paid to do what they do it because they love it, you know what I mean?
So everybody, I mean, honestly, it's like everybody is doing their optimal, like it is optimizing people's skills actually, which is funny because I feel like that's the goal of capitalism, but capitalism doesn't quite achieve that.
No,
I don't want to get too political here, but yeah.
But there's other factors at play.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think.
Okay. That's interesting though. Yeah. I mean, like I said, at the top of this, like it really does seem like the hive mind is just like when collectivism just goes so, so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see it on the Enterprise, right? Like they all like function and work as a team. Like they all work together for this like greater scientific purpose. But they're also, you know, still individuals. They still have their own personalities, their own skill sets. But I mean, they still share their knowledge, but it's still like people as individuals, you know, with more Absolutely. Like a shared purpose. And Yeah, it's just interesting to see. Because also, with the Borg, like, who actually benefits? If they're all the same, it's just so that the Borg can have control of everything. Is there anyone at the head of the Borg?
So they have, like, the Borg Queen. But I'm not even going to lie. I don't even really know what her deal is.
Like, okay.
Like, if I think about it too hard, I strip it of its power because I'm like, the whole point of the Borg is to be a hive mind.
Mm-hmm.
So why is there this queen? Like, I just, like, it's really weird in my brain if I think about it too hard. So I just kind of accept that it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, and then it gets into an interesting concept of, like, okay, maybe not necessarily in the Star Trek universe because, you know, again, the goal is like, okay, everybody's needs are met. There's no kind of like capitalist structure. Like people are able to do what they love and what they're good at, but their needs are taken care of. And so I think about this idea of who really does get benefited, like who benefits with the Borg? Like, okay, I guess you could argue that, like, is it better to know that, okay, you know, once you're into the Borg, you have all of that collected knowledge, but what good is having that if you can't really do anything with it, if you're just kind of like a slave to this hive mind?
Yeah, I think that's why it's a big bad, is because it's yeah. like there's no clear objective other than perfection and assimilation.
Yeah, which but is just like,
what's the end goal of that?
Exactly. There's no end. Yeah. And yeah, infinity is terrifying to think about. And if this Borg is just going on forever, like collect it, like ultimately, again, if you're assuming, right, like that the Borg succeeds, like everything will just become Borg, the Borg, which is just awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know if that was that deep of a thought that I thought it was, but I don't know. I just think about like yeah. Like, you know, if your options are, okay, you're going to be in this hive mind thing, you have all of this knowledge, but you completely lose your individuality versus, okay, you don't necessarily know everything, you still have to learn and develop and, like, go through hard stuff, but you have your individuality, like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Trade-offs. But yeah.
Trade-offs of the collective hive mind.
Yeah, trade-offs. Yeah, yeah, not space junk colonial ship, not a fan.
That's so fair because they also go to Wolf 359.
Okay. What is that?
That is where all of that shit happened. Like,
ooh, is that where they first like go down initially and they're like, what happened here? And
No. So that's the Providence colony.
Oh, okay.
That's at the top of the episode when they're like, whoa. Why is there this giant fucking chasm here? And that's when they, like, realize it's the Borg because they do the tests. They bring on Shelby, all that stuff. Wolf 359 is where the Borg cube is headed first.
Oh, okay.
And they're entering the Terran system because they want to get to Earth.
Oh, yeah. I remember them saying that. Like, we're going to, like, not planet, but they're basically heading to, like, Earth. Yeah. To get humans.
Yeah. And they go to Wolf 359, which becomes an iconic, like, historical moment.
Okay.
In the Star Trek universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where Picard, as Locutus, is, like, murdering all the people. And, like, assimilating the people and, like, destroying ships and stuff. That's where that all happens.
Wait, does Picard get... Oh, no, that's in this. That's when all the ships get, okay. For some reason, I was like, wait, does something else happen with Picard that I missed?
No, he's like, yeah. Well, because he's taken and he's assimilated.
Yeah, and he destroys all of the ships that come for assistance.
So that is like a historical thing in Star Trek.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like, and it comes back quite often. Like, one of the other captains of a different show, like, lost his wife at 359.
Oh.
And, like, we meet a captain later that, like, survived Wolf 359 and has, like, survivor's guilt. Like Wolf 359, like, fucks with people.
Well, and I was just, well, as you were talking about it, I'm thinking, like, how we don't really see a lot of like the after effects of this for Picard just yet. Like,
that's what actually this is. So this is one of the, so one of my qualms with Star Trek overall is that some really traumatic shit happens and then the next day is like fine. Like the next episode is like, we're all on our, we're just back to business as usual.
Yeah.
But the episode after this one, season 4, episode 2, is called Family.
Okay.
And that is a moment where we see Picard deal with the effects of 359.
Yeah, because I was just thinking about this, like, that, like, Picard's got to be fucked up. And, like, you see him at the end, like, he still has the metal stuff on his face. Does that ever come off?
Yeah.
Okay. That's just, they just, like, couldn't remove it right away or something, like.
Yeah, they work on it. I think Beverly is like, I'm going to take care of it, don't worry, kind of thing.
Okay, because I was just like, I'm like, fuck, does he just have this metal plate on his face for the rest of...
No, yeah, I'm sure they kept that there for like a cinematic, just a cinematic, like, reason.
Yeah.
An impact.
Yeah, but I'm like, holy shit, nobody thinks about like Picard's, like his own personal trauma that he's gone through having, I mean, basically unwillingly committed these atrocities.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, and that's what one of the things that I like is that the next episode, they do kind of deal with it.
Yeah.
And we do kind of see that he's really hurt by it because he can remember everything that happened, but he had no control over any of it.
Yeah. Well, because, yeah, when they're trying to, like, contact him, when Beverly's trying, well, and Data, too, it was mostly Data, like, and he kind of, like, reaches out, like, and he they're like, oh, Picard's in there, like, we, that is, like, one of the most terrifying things I can only imagine, like, you're in this position where you can't actually do anything, like, your mind is imprisoned, like, your mind's trapped, and you can't do anything, and you have, like, no control over what you're actually doing, you know?
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't know, not to get too deep here, but, like, I mean, people that have, like, degenerative diseases.
That's, not to get too deep, I was gonna bring it up, too. I was gonna bring up, like, ALS.
Yeah, or like dementia or like Alzheimer's, like I don't know. Again, Star Trek, always a social commentary.
Oh my god, yeah.
It's I'm amazed at like how much, yeah, I don't know. I think about that, like, you know, like my you know, one of my grandfathers, you know, he suffered from Alzheimer's and he passed as a result of that. And you, I just remember like kind of, I remember visiting him one time, like towards the end of his life. And like, it just completely takes away the person. And, but like, to some extent, I'm sure they're still in there. You know, I would say probably even more so with ALS, where like you're, it's like more your physical. I don't know as much about ALS, but I imagine it's like your physical mobility just is completely shattered.
It's all the physical stuff. I had a grandmother who passed away from it.
Yeah. And so it's like
her mind was fully present, fully awake, fully aware, fully capable.
Yeah.
But it was just the physical body was given. Yeah. Not given up, that sounds bad, but was,
well, it was just
so degenerate.
Yeah. You know? Which is, yeah, it's, I mean, it is, it's devastating to think about that. And I feel like, I don't know, a lot of times we don't, I don't know if we treat people, I feel like as society, we have this approach to those kinds of degenerative diseases that like, just because we're not seeing the manifestations of their like full humanness, that like we start seeing them as not fully human.
Yeah.
Which is devastating.
That's one thing that like my grandma dealt with towards the end a lot, is that she like couldn't speak well, but she was like an educated woman.
Yeah.
Like she went to college, she was a teacher, she like one of the smartest people, but she started to get treated like someone who was like mentally handicapped.
Yeah.
Because she couldn't speak the thoughts that were in her brain, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Which, yeah, I mean, as a society, we need to do better on that. Like, I think obviously we're making progress I mean, we're always making progress. Things are always getting better, even if they get like worse in the slow, you know, in the short term. Things are always, I think, increasingly getting better. But yeah, I think even just, I mean, heck, even people that just like as they get older, like, you know, even if they're not suffering from like a degenerative disease, like just because someone maybe doesn't know how to, I don't know, use a certain piece of technology. And like, I don't know, like I feel like sometimes we like make fun of like older people, like in like the, you know, like, oh, like, you know, what's this Snapchat or what's this Instagram or like, oh, you know, like my mom and I joke about sometimes like that her font on her phone is like she makes it nice and big. And like, honestly, that's more just like easily readable, which I totally get. But I don't know. I think we're all guilty of like, because we perceive people a certain way and because we see them and they don't do things the same way as us, like, or they are incapable for whatever reason, like, it just, we limit their humanity in our brains. And yeah, I don't know, getting a little too deep there too, but like,
well, I think it's just another example of how like a little moment in Star Trek can open up the conversation about these things of like, what would it be like to be trapped inside your mind or to not be able to understand something that you're used to understanding.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, but specifically in terms of Picard knowing full well everything that's going on and not being able to do a thing about it.
Yeah. And like acting, I mean, completely opposite to his nature, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And not having the consent of giving over the things in your mind.
Yeah.
Because they took things from his brain and his knowledge to use against the Federation.
Yeah.
When it's
that, like, does that play out later? Like, are there like after effects of like the Borg now has? Because, okay, sorry, not to pivot, but another question about the Borg. Yeah. So we see, you know, Picard gets disconnected, right? Like they get him out. But like, does the Borg still have that knowledge even though he's not a part of it anymore? Does it get like downloaded?
I think so.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that. I'm like, I don't know. Not that the Borg is really in the practice of going, acquiring people, stripping their knowledge, like downloading all their files and then releasing them. It's kind of more of like a, we want all of them in the Borg. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think they do keep it because the reason I say that is because Seven of Nine in Voyager is a former Borg.
Oh my god. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Did I know this or I I did.
It's kind of like her character tenant.
Oh, okay. Well, this we haven't interacted with Seven of Nine in a while, I feel like.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But
so she,
that makes so much sense why she has like the metal the
ocular implant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she has. So yeah, so she's former Borg. And so the reason why I lean towards yes is because she, as a severed Borg, has all of the knowledge that she had when she was a drone.
Okay.
So I imagine it goes both ways.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, that is wild. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So not to switch gears, but let's get into Riker a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know. Again, at the beginning of the episode, I'm like, I didn't know this was going to be like a, well, two, technically it's two episodes, but like this little, you know, two-parter. I was like, I didn't know it was going to be like a Riker-centric kind of thing, but I don't know. It was cool to kind of see him and Picard, like their working relationship as well. Kind of, I didn't know a lot of the background as far as like Picard was like a mentor. I mean, obviously I assume he's a mentor because he's the captain, but like this kind of like mentorship, like he's been teaching Riker and like helping him to be a little more like less reactive and a little more like, thoughtful and, but I don't know. Yeah, it was just I liked seeing this. You know, you have what was her name? Shelby mm-hmm. comes in. Yeah, so you have Shelby come in, and it's so funny. I mean, it's very obvious in the episode the way it's set up and like the way the dialogue is, but like that she's basically a mirror to his like old self.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I really like that. I love when characters are kind of forced to confront
themselves,
either who they are presently or like who they were. Yeah. I don't know. I liked that. And, you know, he's kind of gets put in what I imagine Picard's position was back when, you know, Riker was young. And it's, yeah, I don't know. It's just cool to see him like kind of take on, and even though he hasn't like officially, I feel like earlier in the episode, like he hasn't even like had to become captain yet. Cause like Picard hasn't been taken yet, but you see just in how he interacts with Shelby, this mm-hmm. kind of like, it's this level of like frustration and like disdain, but it's also like, if you want to succeed, if you want to, like, you've got to do this differently. Like, this doesn't work. Trust me. I've done, like, you yeah. see this like teaching through his experience that I imagine, again, I don't know a lot about early Picard, like his very early experiences, but I imagine that Picard probably went through something similar where he had to kind of develop and like become a little bit more like metered and tempered. And I think it's cool. Again, we'll go back to like the, okay, what does this say about the larger universe, the larger, like our world? Like, people teach through experience and people learn through experience. And I think one of the best ways to, like, you have to go through difficult things in order to like gain the wisdom that those experiences have to offer.
Yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes I personally do this. Like, sometimes I discount like people that are maybe older than me and that have more experience because I'm like, oh, well, you don't know how it is now. You know, oh, that was back then. And okay, while some of that might be true, like obviously we have the internet that hasn't really been around for, I mean, it's really only been around for what, like maybe 20, 25 years at this point. Like, it's really not that old.
Yeah.
And
I'd say like 30.
Yeah, maybe 30. Yeah, I don't know the exact date, but like a lot of the tech, like this, like insanely modern, like the iPhone was what, 2007, 2008?
That's it?
Yeah. Here, let me look this up. So I want to get the date right, but the iPhone is not that old.
They've made so many of them.
I know. They'd be making one every year. First generation.
That's so unnecessary.
Yeah, 2007. It was announced in January 2007, first released in June of 2007.
That's crazy.
That is fucking wild. What, so we're at what now? I can't do math. That's 17 years? 16, 17 years?
Yes.
Is that the right math? Because we're in what? We're 2024 now. Yeah, like 17 years?
Maybe 10 years. Plus 3, plus 4. Yeah, 17.
That's okay. That is wild to think about, though.
It's like, it's weird because it feels like it's been longer, but also not as long. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean.
Like at the same time.
It's also partly because, again, this is going to be silly, but 2007 doesn't even feel that long ago, even though it was like so long ago.
It doesn't. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
I'm like, oh, 2007. That was, you know, what?
3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago. I'm like, oh, it's not even 2010. 2010 was 14 years ago.
Ew. Oh, that's gross.
Dude, 2019 was 5 years ago.
That's so weird.
I've been married for almost 5 years now.
That's crazy, dude.
That is wild to me. Anyways, back to what my point was. I think I was trying to say, like, experience is important. And, like, I think there's something to be said for life experience and, like, giving that some weight. Like, you know, I know the whole term, well, respect your elders. And, like, okay, that doesn't mean I give you a free pass to be a dick, but like,
right.
But like, there is something to be said about life experience and that, you know, okay, you've gone through something. I would love to learn from you so I don't have to go through that, you know?
Yeah. No, Shelby does. She's combative the whole time, and it's like I feel like Riker would have been like that too. Maybe.
Oh but yeah.
I was mad the whole time. I was like, Shelby.
Yeah.
Listen to your elders.
Listen to your elders. Well, and I even, oh, this is funny too. It's another thing. I'm like, I'm not even that old. Like, I'm still like, I'm in my 20s. Like, I know I'm technically an adult. I still don't really consider myself a full grown adult, but whatever. But, you know, occasionally I get the opportunity to talk to like some like younger, like law students, like the ones, you know, like a year or two below me. And it is really interesting to kind of be like, hey, like, I wish I would have known XYZ. I'm telling you so that you don't have to deal with that. And at least for me, I mean, it does come out of a genuine, like, I don't want you to have to go through this thing because it was really frustrating or, you know, whatever it is. And I think sometimes I personally know that I misinterpret the intent behind some people's advice that's like older than me. Mm-hmm. And I take it as, oh, you're trying to tell me what to do, or you're telling me I'm stupid or whatever. And it, okay, maybe there's some of that, but I think the majority of it is just like, I genuinely like, I don't want you to have to go through this thing, or I want this to make this easier on you, or hey, this is something I wish I would have known. I don't know. And so it was a little bit of a humbling episode in that sense for me. I'm like, you know what? Okay, there is something to be said for life experience, and I need to be a little more open to that.
Oh, yeah.
But also, don't be dicks to people. But also, like, don't lord your life experience over me and realize that, like, I may have stuff to teach you too.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Sorry. This has become a bit of a monologue for me, but it was just, you know.
That's okay. I'm sick. We're allowed to speak.
So for the they're not viewers, for the listeners, because you can't see us.
Oh, no.
Taylor currently has a tissue stuffed up one of her, or both of her nostrils.
It's both now.
Both nostrils. And it's a fun little look.
Yep. That's where we're at today.
She's infirm.
I'm doing my best. I'm putting down my life for the podcast today.
Taylor really is a, I want all the listeners to know. Taylor is a dedicated podcaster.
It's true. What can I say?
She be carrying this.
Well, also, we're recording this today. Like, our episode.
That is true. Yeah. We recorded this earlier today.
So we're doing great, I think.
Yeah.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do. And, you know, I don't know how many people listen to this, but we love and appreciate all of you. Like,
all
truly.
All five of you. Like, thank you.
All five of you.
And, okay. This wouldn't be an episode of Brides of Chaotica if I didn't talk about this next thing that I'm gonna talk about.
Okay.
Can we just talk about the fact that the first person to see that Picard is Locutus and is Borg is Beverly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's the first one. They're on their little away team.
Yeah.
And she looks up and you can feel Gates McFadden as an actress is so talented. And you can feel the fear and devastation that Beverly Crusher feels for this man that she loves. You can't convince me otherwise.
Oh yeah, she for sure loves Picard.
And she's the first one to see him. And that's really beautiful and devastating.
Yeah. And
I just had to say that.
No, that's true. I'd forgotten about that for a second. Like, honestly, I forgot about that. But yeah, you're right. Oh my God. I know. So, there you go. You get a front, you know, that now it goes back to like all the spouses or close family members or friends of people that have degenerative diseases. Like, that is hard too. And I don't know if they get enough support either.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking hard. But yeah, no, back. Sorry. We got a lot of heavy topics.
She's too, though. She helps him. She saves him.
She does. No, like, truly though, Beverly.
Can we just talk about the medical, like, genius that Beverly Crusher is for being able to get Picard like fully healed from the implants? Like, what the fuck?
Like, let's, you know,
people don't talk. No, shut up.
People do not talk about that enough. Because hear me out. The doctor from Voyager can do it. Mm-hmm. Probably because Beverly Crusher did it first.
That's true.
And it's like, people don't talk about that enough because this episode is about Riker and this episode is about the Borg. Mm-hmm. But like, Beverly, with technology that she is unfamiliar with, is able to fucking heal Picard. Like, what?
Yeah, go off, Taylor. I agree.
Like, what is that? That's true love, guys.
It really is. We ship Beverly and Jean-Luc.
I really do.
Crusher and Picard.
I really do. One day, Elizabeth, you're gonna watch Sub Rosa.
Uh-huh.
And Attached, and it's gonna be great.
Okay. I'll be waiting until that day.
Is it on our next season? Give me a second. I need to look real quick.
I would guess that it probably is. Knowing you, it probably is.
It is. Both of them are. Oh my god. Oh my god. Okay.
Fantastic. Okay, so,
Elizabeth.
Yes.
Who's your favorite character?
My favorite character. I mean, okay. I love Data, but I can't always pick Data. You know, I think I am going to pick Riker for this one.
Yeah.
I honestly think I am. Like,
I love Riker.
I will admit I was a little bit biased towards him. I just thought everybody was shifty at the beginning of the show.
Well, he's also like a white man.
Well, yes.
Like a cis white man.
So he's also a little bit like, he's got like a bit of a, I don't want to say intimidating presence, but like maybe it's the beard. I don't know, man, but that's a thick ass beard.
It is. I love his beard. He doesn't have a beard in like the first season and it's kind of weird.
Oh, does he not?
Nah, you get to see babyface Riker and it's kind of...
Oh, I don't think I can picture him without a beard. Does he keep the beard the rest of the show? Because he needs the beard. The beard seems iconic.
I agree. It is.
Whoever the actor is, you grow a great beard, my guy.
Jonathan Frakes, who's also a director, and he directs several of the episodes of Star Trek.
Well, congratulations, Jonathan. You have an incredible beard.
He knows.
I think he knows. If you don't know, you do have an incredible beard.
Did I tell you about when I met Jonathan Frakes?
I think you've mentioned it, but go off. Tell us about it.
So when I met Jonathan Frakes, I had just met Gates McFadden right before.
Oh, goodness.
And so I was an emotional wreck because Gates McFadden is one of the reasons why I am still an actor and mm-hmm. didn't quit. And her podcast like changed my life and like all of the things.
Thank you, Gates McFadden.
So I met her and I was like, oh my god, like this is crazy. Like I was like shaking because I'm so dramatic as of a person. You don't meet someone who's like a good hero and like talks to you about your acting and like gives you acting advice every day. So then when I went to meet Jonathan Frakes, I just walked up there and he was just like, hi. And I was like, hi. And he was like, your name? And I was like, oh, Taylor. And he was like, okay. And then he was like, I like your mask because it was COVID. And so I had like a TNG, like blue.
Oh, did you really?
Like a uniform mask on.
Oh, cute.
And he was like, I like your mask. And I was like, thanks. And then I just left.
So Jonathan, sir, if you are listening.
I'm so sorry about that, buddy. Taylor, I respect you so much as a director. I just didn't know what to do.
Taylor was starstruck. Taylor is just such a fan. Like,
it was just funny because it's like he was trying to talk to me and I was just like, hello.
Hello, sir.
Like I was too overwhelmed.
Was this your first
convention?
Oh, well, that really like, does just track, doesn't it?
I was like, I don't know what to do with myself. I just met Gates McFadden, who's the reason I didn't quit acting. Like, it was really dramatic. Anyway. Okay, so.
Yeah, we good job on you, and all of your other career successes, besides the beard. Yeah, I loved Riker.
Good. I love Riker too. I love him.
I'm convinced.
So this is our last episode of the season.
Oh, sad.
And so I have a couple questions for you, and then I'm going to go over just some big stuff for the next season.
Hell yeah.
And then we'll call it a day, and then we're going to post this tonight. Hopefully if I can edit it in time. If not, my bad, guys.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sick. So
life be busy and Taylor be ill.
Yeah. So what was your favorite episode of the entire season that we did watch?
Okay, I gotta think back through all of the episodes that we watched. Let me go to our little breakdown. Let me think about this. Okay, I'm trying to remember. Okay, I remember really liking or like laughing at like the Naked Time and the Naked Now.
Oh, those are so good.
Those were hilarious.
Those are so good.
What a good time. I also really liked Data's Day. For obvious reasons.
Of course, I knew you would. I knew you'd love that episode. Because, you know what? I love that episode, too.
Honestly, I think that might have to be my pick for the season. I think just in honoring who I am and my true love of this show, Mr. Data.
I can't wait for us to meet more 7 of 9, because you're going to fall in love with someone else.
I'm sure I will. But just, yeah, Data, you a real one. I love Data's Day. I love Data. But honestly, all of the episodes, like, I feel like we got a good, I don't know, I just, I this was a very good, in my opinion, knowing nothing really, this was a good entry to the Star Trek universe, I feel like. I feel like I got a good sense of, like, the social structures and the different species. I am excited to get more into Romulans, though, because I honestly don't think we watched a lot of Romulan-centric episodes.
We didn't, that's true.
And so that is something I am actually very excited to explore. I don't know if that's necessarily already planned out for season 2 yet or not, but I am excited for that. I'm excited to get to know Romulans a little bit more and get to know that kind of – that big bad. Because they're kind of like, I think, what the other – it's that they're like the big bad that's throughout all of the series.
Absolutely.
Which I feel like there will be plenty of opportunities for analysis and reflection there.
Absolutely. But
yeah, I think I see all of like the Star Trek characters and like the stories still very much through kind of like an analytical, like social reflective lens. But I'm starting to get into that, like, oh, I really like this character. I want to see more show episodes with this character in it. Like, I'm kind of getting into that more, like, just like the fan phase.
Yeah.
Well,
I love that.
But I do love how well written the episodes are. Like, they're truly, each one on its own is just incredibly well crafted. Like, truly.
Oh, yeah.
And all the writers and all the, like, producers, like, all of the people that, like, create, like, go into creating these, like, if they're not, I mean, I'm sure they're aware of how much they're, how valuable their contributions have been and, like, talented they are, but truly, like, incredibly talented.
Hell yeah.
And just thank you to all of them for putting out what an amazing, like, an amazing body of work that continues to go on.
Yes, I love the respect that you have. It's so, I love that.
No, I truly do, though, because, I mean, I don't know. I feel like some of the premise, like, I don't know if the premise, I don't know if your goal when we first started this was to more to make me into a fan or just, like, an appreciator. That's not the word. When people are, like.
Appreciator is fine.
Yeah, but, like, what's that term when someone's, like an art, not a connoisseur, but someone who, like. Like someone who appreciates it and honors it and like and collects it, and I don't know what the word is.
I have no idea what word you're looking for.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is I don't know if your goal was to make me into one of those kind of people or more of just like a fan, but I yeah, I don't know. I didn't expect to gain just like an incredible respect for like the craft and like creating the people that have gone into creating this, I mean, universe, honestly, over several decades. Yeah. And who constantly reinvent and reanalyze and show a lens on, just hold a lens up to society. Like, mm-hmm. It is, it's incredible. And it takes a lot of like self-reflection and just, yeah, I don't know. Very wonderful people.
I agree.
The actors, the directors, the writers, the producers, all the videography, the costume, like all of the people that are involved, everybody.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, can you mute yourself? Not you. I want you to not be able to hear me.
Okay.
So just mute your computer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. All right. So for next season, you guys, we have a good one planned up. We're going to be watching a bunch of like really good classic episodes. We're going to be watching Inner Light, Far Beyond the Stars, Threshold, Rejoined, Those Old Scientists from Strange New Worlds, Macrocosm. We're going to go on a Picard Beverly Bender for like 5 weeks straight, where we're going to watch The Big Goodbye, Sub Rosa, Attached, and then we're going to watch the episode of Picard where Picard finds out that he's a dad. We're going to watch Coda from Voyager, Suspicions. We're going to watch Subspace Rhapsody, the musical episode. We're going to watch Moist Vessel, and then we're going to end it with our Killing Game Part 1 and 2, because I love that episode. And, oh, we're also going to watch the one of the last episodes of Picard, Season 2. The one where Raffi and Seven kiss. I forgot the title, but we're going to watch that one. So stay tuned for that next season, and it's going to be a good time. Let me call Elizabeth back. All right, take us out.
Oh, we're going out. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. We're going out. Well, you can find us on Instagram at Brides of Chaotica Pod. And if you want to email us for whatever reason, you can email us at bridesofchaotica@gmail.com.
Tune in next season to Brides of Chaotica to find out which episodes I'm going to force Elizabeth to watch next.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Somehow I feel comfortable here.
Like, if you need to throw up at all, just like, just let me know.
All right.